Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Can we say amen? Amen? Oh, I love it, Emmanuel. Say it again, Emmanuel. Amen. I love the way he says that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. It's so great to have the kids in here today. You see, the Spirit of the living God isn't worried about skin color, isn't worried about age. He can touch the youngest person in here today. He can put a call on a young person's life today. At the age of 3, I sat at a little kid, the back of a Catholic church, and I said to Daddy on my first little service I think I ever went to, and I can remember him going up and walking to the front and getting the Eucharist, as they do, and I says, "Dad, hey, could you get me one of those Easter eggs?" He came back and he goes, "That's not an Easter egg, son." But God was working on my heart when I was 3. So it's awesome to see the youth here today. And I'm excited to be here. Pastor Pat and I talked months ago, and we're talking about cross-training athletics, train the heart of a champion from the inside out. So I get the ability to go on a high school campus and share biblical principles to athletes and now students. This year, God has advanced us from not only teaching a class at Cheektowaga Central, but we'll also be in Lockport High School, speaking to students biblical principles to change their life. Kids that are broken and hurting. That's what we're going to talk about today. I talk about the heart. So when it came to, he goes, Pastor Pat goes, "Oh, that's great." I was telling him all this stuff about the different types of hearts and all that. And he says, "That's great. Why don't you speak on the heart?" And he's flipping through his stuff. Remember that, okay? He's flipping through his stuff, and he's going like, "Oh, right here, this is perfect. You can speak on August 16th. You can talk about the heart." Talks about the heart of flesh and the heart of stone. And why don't you talk about the heart? But what he didn't tell me was all the rest of the readings of this week. Because we didn't look at those. And if you've been reading the chronological Bible, and you read this week, it's heavy. It's so heavy that I need to tell a joke or two before we get started. And so, Debbie, you're going to appreciate this. Because Debbie was a faithful volunteer in 1993 at Niagara. Niagara Youth Convention, I was a youth pastor in 93. Just became a youth pastor, went from football coaching to youth pastor in 93, Bethesda Full Gospel Tabernacle. And through that time, I knew this guy by the name of Mike Chore. He goes, "Hey, I'm running a youth conference." He goes, "How would you like to be a part of that youth conference?" He says, "I want to make you the program director. You can call the plays. You can get people on stage. You can do this, this." I'm like, "Yeah, sure, I'll be here." So I show up at that. Now, okay, this was like in January of 93. January of 93. So the conference is in December of 93, and I'm going through youth pastoring, et cetera, et cetera. And he goes, "Hey, we need a super conference man. He's going to get out, and he's going to throw out gifts to people, and he's going to, right before, that's how we're going to open up, we're going to have spotlights flowing around and cool stuff, and he's going to pass out gifts to people and just love on people, and, you know, you're just going to have all kinds of fun, you know, it's just like toss these things out, you know." And so, right, Deb? That's what happened, right? And so I go, "Hey, we got just the guy, Bruce Ratka. I mean, he's like 6'2", he's got a chest out to here, arms like this." We were both his cooperating teachers. He was we were doing student teaching. Bruce is the guy above us. And we'll get Bruce. He just came to Jesus Christ. Bruce goes, "Yeah, I'll do it. I'll be there. I'll help you guys out." And that's great. That's awesome. So, I bring my running tights because I'm clueless. I mean, I'm going to get a workout, you know, between the sessions. I got my shorts to go over this. You know, I have never been to a youth conference. I don't have a clue what a conference is. Conferences I went to, you got a break. You went out and you jogged. You did some nice things between the breaks and that. So we get to the conference, and I'm unpacking, right? So I'm unpacking my tights and my shorts that go with it, and they're red. They happen to be red. And we're talking about the super conference, man. I mean, that's how we opened the conference, with the Superman song, and spotlights going like this, but we couldn't afford spotlights. So you know those things that are on the pickup trucks, the top, those lights there? Okay, yeah, okay, so we had two guys up top have those things on their hands doing this because we couldn't afford it. Oh, by the way, I saw those guys, like, that was like their first and last conference because they singed their hands that they were so burnt. Oh, yeah, it's a good joke now, it wasn't back then. So we get there, and you know, I'm unpacking. Troy goes, what the heck are you doing with those tights? Like, well, I'm going to go for a run, you know, like lunchtime or something. Oh, yeah, right, check, okay. So we get a phone call. He goes, hey, it's Bruce. I go, yeah? He goes, Bruce is sick. He can't make it. And then he gets this smile on his face. Yeah, you got it. Yeah. You guess who Super Conference Man was, right? He goes, you in the tights, man, and we'll put a shirt on you. I go, no. He goes, aren't you sold out for the kingdom? That's the selling out for the kingdom. So I'm sitting there not being as joyful as today because I didn't have the Holy Spirit back then. So I was one of those worker guys in the church, you know, just not freely given, not freely receiving. Hey, you get a full candy bar. I got to love that one. Hey, that's good for you, okay? And so, you know, just be able to just shower people, you know. Oh, she goes, oh, are you kidding me? Hey, we might give you a whole bag if you're lucky. And so I'm doing it like this. Da, 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 da. I didn't have a clue about Christianity. I didn't have a clue about a lot of things. I was just willing to say yes. So here we are, many, many years later. And Pastor gives me this message. Some of this message was preached at some of the Niagaras about the blood on your hands. And I'm so glad the children are here. Praise God for life. I just want to pray. Lord, I come before you, Lord. And Lord, I just ask you for help right now. Lord, breathe on us. I love the worship today about the Spirit and the rain coming down. Breathe on us, because our flesh is weak. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We thank you for your Spirit. Give me the unction to preach this message. Lord God, I need you. We need you. Lord God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come, that these scriptures would come alive. For the word killeth, but the Spirit brings life. It brings life. Lord God, I pray, Lord God, I pray for new lifestyles after today's message. New lifestyles. We need a change of lifestyles. Lord God, I thank you for the missions trip. I got my call to ministry in a missions trip in Mexico, my first trip. Maybe these two young ladies will be called out also. Lord God, you are constantly pursuing us, loving us. Lord God, you'll rebuke us. You'll do whatever it takes for us to get our eyes upon you. Holy Spirit, come. Have your way. Burn in our hearts. Like the two men from the road of Emmaus said, were the scriptures not burning in our hearts? Make our hearts burn for you. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. So, great thing. This book here, it says in Romans, says this, it says, for whatever things were written before were written for our information, so that through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. And Pastor's been, he's mentioned a couple of times now about this whole gay marriage issue and all that, and many people are bothered. How many people are bothered? And if you didn't raise your hand, I'm going like, okay, then if you're not bothered, then you must be the second piece. You must be broken. Because if you're not bothered, you better be broken. Because if you don't see what's happening, you don't see where we're going, you're not reading the Bible. We're coming to judgment, folks. It's coming. And my Bible says judgment starts in the church first. You see, I'm going to tell you right now, it's pretty simple. I'm going to give you a quick background of what's going on up till now. Okay, so if you I know it's tough to track this. This is very difficult. If I didn't take some in-depth courses, I wouldn't have a clue what I'm talking to you about right now. And so what the background is, where we're at right now in the chronological Bible. And can I just say this one thing, encourage you? If you've stopped reading, pick it up now and continue. Fight the good fight. Finish the race. Keep the faith. Yeah, you know what? It's set up there that, hey, you know what? My flesh may fail me, but the Spirit will bring the book alive to you if you'll pick it up and read it. The only prayer that's not ever answered is the one that's not prayed. You don't want to read the word, we can't get changed. You'll continue in your lifestyle. We need new lifestyles. And I'm telling you, you're one of two places. You're either burdened over what's going on in our nation, or you're broken. And if you're not neither, then you're in the middle and you're lukewarm and you're going to be spit out like vomit. Period. That's Bible. It's not me. Anything I'm giving you today, and if I get excited, it's because that's who God made me. That's just who I am, okay? I get excited. I'm not yelling at you today. There's going to be times I'll probably tone it down because I'm going to be broken when I get to the certain part about the broken heart and how God rescued me. So the quick background is that Israel's in all kinds of sin. Sin up to their neck. And Jehoiakim was the king. And Nebuchadnezzar came in and crushed him because God told him to crush him. You go in and crush my people. Get this, these are his people. He birthed the nation of Israel. He birthed them. These are his children. His children. He birthed. He says, you go and wreck them. Because they're not listening to him anymore. I sent him the word. I sent him the prophet. I've done everything I could. I've blessed them. I've done everything else. But they're not listening. Crush them. And so the first exile comes. And away goes Daniel. And then they take Jehoiakim's son, Jehoiachin. There's Kim and Chin. That's a simple way to do it. They were Chinese guys, really. Excuse me. Oh, geez, forgive me. Asian people. If you haven't had it up to here with political correctness, I've had it more than up to here. Can't say anything anymore. If you want to be offended, people, you will be offended. If you're looking to be offended, you'll be offended. If you got Christ, then you can shake offense off, maybe. And you'll need all the power to do that. So Jehoiakim takes over for 3 months. 3 months, and Nebuchadnezzar goes, hey, that guy's out. We ain't putting up with him. He's no different than his dad or his brother, whichever they were. Okay, and he goes, he's out. So he removes him, and while he removes him, there's another exile that happens, and Ezekiel is taken with that one. So we got Daniel and Ezekiel who are all sitting in Babylon. I don't know what they were doing or how big Babylon was, but the whole issue, but they're both gone. And at the same time, we have Jeremiah the prophet, and Nebuchadnezzar says, okay, Kim's out, I'll kill him, which he did. Chin's in, Chin's out, and now I'm putting Mattaniah in there, who he names Zedekiah. Zedekiah is the last Israel king, okay? And so while Zedekiah is in there, Jeremiah is still preaching. He'd been preaching since Josiah. He'd been preaching through Zedekiah. Through Kim. He was preaching through Chin. He was preaching through Zedekiah, and there's still nothing happening. Thank you so much, Big A. You're all right. I'm in big trouble. I lost my place now. So good. And here's why there was exile. Here's why. I'm gonna shorten this down, okay? Three reasons. Number one, innocent blood. Innocent blood. You don't think the innocent blood that we shed daily through abortion, God's heart is not breaking. His heart is breaking. It's breaking. It's breaking. It broke so much back then. He said about Manasseh, he says, what Manasseh did as a king and all the blood that he shed, I will never forgive that. It will be punished. Oh, he's a loving God. Hey, Chris, if someone killed your kid, I bet you'd get pretty stinking fired up about it. I don't know if I could sit back. Well, that's the grace and compassionate of our God and how slow he is to anger with us and how compassionate he is with us and how compassionate he is with this nation.
You don't think judgment's coming? It's coming. I'm trying to just give you a big scream. Get under the wings of the Almighty and the covering of His shadow. Because if you're not, there's a teacher I had in school that said, when a student wouldn't study for his classes, Mr. Prozic, he goes, I wish you luck. See how that luck thing works for you. The second thing is the idol worship was killing God. They were worshiping idols in His temple. His temple, His place, where He said He would bring His glory. And they're worshiping idols. But not here, not in this temple. Not in the churches of America, right? I get to speak in many different churches. I get to see a lot of things. I'm in the Presbyterian church, the Baptist church, Pentecostal churches. I saw a move of God once in a church going on. I saw a person broken, weeping at the altar. Worship's going on. People are praising God. And I look over, people are texting. People are texting. Look at their face in the phone. My God, help us. Help us. Please help us. Help us. Help us. God, help us. My Mexico people, you're so right. I've been there. They got nothing. They got nothing. I carried pails from a lake for over a half a mile to a mile to give them water. They got nothing. You go preach prosperity gospel to them. I tried it once. The man was standing right in front of me. I said, Jesus has an abundant life for you, as he was walking out of the garbage dumps. And God didn't check my heart quick. Oh, nice message, Mike. He needs to hear about the gospel, not the abundant living, because he's not going to have the abundant living. He's not going to get the abundant living that you have in America. I haven't even got to the reading yet. The idol worship. And the next thing, God, the reason they went 70 years to Babylon is because they refused to let the land rest. They wouldn't take the Sabbath. They wouldn't let the land rest. God goes, it's my land. Folks, everything is his. From the clouds in the sky to the grass in the feet to the trees that here to these chairs to everything on this planet is Jesus Christ, all created for him, by him. He is the king. He will be worshipped. And let me tell you, in the name of Jesus, every chain can be broken. He is awesome. He wants to change the hard heart, the soft heart, the hole in the heart. He wants to make it a heart of flesh. He's going like, I want to pour out my spirit. I want to give you a life, big A, like you've never known before. I want to touch you, bless you, and I got things that I've created and planned for you before you were even born, son. He goes, I love you. I'm calling you. Come to me. Come to me. Put this stinking world down and come to me. Because I got this awesome life for you. Yeah, it might be tough. Our ministry has seen more people come to Christ than this year, and I've seen in 4 years. More kids have asked Jesus Christ to come in their life, and I want to thank this church for sponsoring us. There we go. For sponsoring us and supporting us. I had a chance to preach at a baccalaureate down in Brockton. And guess what? I had a chance to give the gospel at the baccalaureate. 4 of the 6 seniors that were there stood to receive Jesus Christ. The principal of the school stood to receive Jesus Christ. The superintendent's daughter stood to receive Jesus Christ. A husband and wife stood to receive Jesus Christ on a high school campus. Praise God! Yeah, amen. But no, some of you aren't amen to nothing. Amen. Can we say amen? Amen. 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 I don't say it again. Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah. And the lady that was running the thing, she was sweating bullets. When I gave the message, I was invited by the pastors of the area. You want to tell you how cool God is, though? I'm going to tell you how cool God is. It's pretty simple. At 3 years old, I was walking Brockton High School because that's where my dad coached. I got stories from Brockton. I lived there until I was 4. And God turned the whole thing around. And I knew people. I knew stories. That's why they invited me in, because I went to one of my dad's former players' funerals and shared some stories, and I shared the gospel. And 3 years later, they said, hey, would you like to come do the baccalaureate? I go, would I like to come do the baccalaureate? It was a setup. God had set it up since I was 3 and 4 years old. I told the stories of the school. I told the story about my dad making a new football field on the tractor. I told about the story about the swimming pool and how it was going to overflow. And my dad's friend said, run down to the fire hydrant and turn it off. He was using the city's water because he was a volunteer fireman. It's a setup. You're suffering. And you're in pain and you're hurt. I know. I don't know yours, but I got my own suffering. And he will use that for you to touch people's lives, because it's through suffering that we get compassion. And you'll have compassion for other people when you suffer. If you're suffering right now, matter of fact, God says this. He says, I cause my son to suffer to teach him obedience. Oh, no, don't, you can't say suffer. No, that's what he said about Jesus in Hebrews 5:8. My son suffered to learn obedience. But we want the nice story. It is this nice story. It's an awesome story. He's going to take your heart, you're going to go, boom, and I'm going to give you a new one, boom. I knew he could handle that. And I still haven't gotten to the message, and we got 15 minutes left. This is all free. So let's go to the scriptures really quick. Ezekiel 11, 16 through 21. Here is Ezekiel, who is a captive, sharing with the people there. And talk about, you want to be a real priest, a real prophet? Talk about Ezekiel, right? He told to lay on his side for the amount of time. He told to lay on this side amount of time. He told him, you eat this food and you cook it over human dung. And he goes, I can't do that. He goes, okay, we'll make it cow dung for you. And so he's preaching to the exiles, and here's what he says in 11. He says, therefore says the Lord God, although I have cast them far among from the Gentiles, and though I have scattered them among the countries, yet I shall have a little sanctuary for them in the countries where they have gone. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I will gather you from the peoples. Say this with me, restoration. Restoration. Look at your whoever's next to you, go, restoration. Restore. Restore. Say this with me. I want you to say this. Say it to God right now. Breathe on me.
Breathe on me.
Breathe on me.
Breathe on me.
I can't hear you. Breathe on me.
Breathe on me.
That's what he wants. Just say that prayer. You see, the question is, though, like I said, if you don't pray, it's the only prayer that's unanswered. But if you say a simple prayer, God, breathe on me. Breathe on me. Fill me with that good spirit. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Fill me with your love. Breathe on me. Breathe on me. That's today's message. Breathe on me. He wants to breathe on you. The problem is, there's so much to this message. Pastor, I'm sorry. I really need like about an hour and a half. You chuckle, but when somebody's been working something in you since 2005, it's tough to get it out in a half an hour. 2005 when we started cross-training football. So let's continue to go down here in the scriptures, because it's a great thing. But he wants to restore. That's what he's doing here. He goes, I want to restore. I want to gather them from the peoples, assemble them from the countries where they've been scattered. I want to give you the land of Israel, verse 17, verse 18, and they will go there, and they will make it all the way. It's detestable things, and it's abominations from there. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put in them a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments, and to them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for those whose hearts follow desire of their detestable things and their abominations, I will pay back or recompense their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord. You want to hang on to your heart today, be my guest. You want to hang on to stony heart? Can you catch that for me? Thank you. That stony heart, that's a hard heart. That's what that stone represents. Hard-heartedness. They're the proud, the arrogant. They control you with their mouth. They manipulate you. They come hard at you. With kids, it's like this way. Proud kid, you're talking to him. He don't even give you eye contact. He looks the other way. He's looking over here because you know what? He doesn't want to hear what you got to say. Every one of these hearts I've had, and in here, we have them. There's five hearts I'm going to talk about, and I don't know if I can do it in 10 minutes. This is a hard heart. And God says right in here, there's a stony heart. You got a hard heart. That hard heart's a proud heart. You know what God says about the proud? I will give more grace, but God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. You got a hard heart? He's opposed to you. You're opposed. That's scripture. That's not me. That's scripture. Your heart's hard? You got a hard heart toward your boss? There's no grace there to help you with your situation. If you got a humble heart, then God goes, grace, oh, grace. Wait, I love it, 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 I love it. Afo, you have a hard heart or a soft heart? Good, Afo, there you go. Smart answer. You had a soft heart, didn't you? Yeah, she got a load. God wants to load you up with grace. But see, United States right now, we're so stinking hard, it's not even funny. Because the church is hard. If my people are called by name and will humble themselves and pray. If you're not broken, then we're not praying for the situation of our nation. And maybe some of you are doing it individually. That's great. But if you're not, where's your heart at? You're no different than the people in Jerusalem. You know what they're saying? Peace, peace. Nothing's going to happen. Peace, peace. We got the temple. We're Christians. We're okay. That's what they were saying. Yeah. Everything's fine. And Jeremiah's preaching, repent, repent. And he's weeping over it. And they ain't listening. They threw him in jail. They threw him in a cistern. So that's the hard-hearted person today. God says, though, I can take care of the hard-hearted person. And then we got this person. Then we got this heart here, coach. Sorry, pastor. Call him coach. Always calls me coach, right? Pencil. Pencil. What kind of heart is this? Huh. Can you break that for me? You got it. It's a hurting heart. It's broken. What does that look like? Hurting heart. You know what the hurting heart people are? Not only hurting heart people can hurt others at times because they're wounded. Difference between a broken heart and hurting heart. You know what's the cool thing about this? Jesus said, you know what? I heal the broken heart. I bind the wounds. I can heal your broken heart. I can bind up your wounds. You see, I know about broken heart. I know about suffering. Not only have I lost both parents, but when I was going through high school, my mother was paranoid schizophrenic. I don't know what you know what that looks like in the 70s because they didn't know what to do with it, neither did my dad. My mother was so whacked out, I shouldn't even have come to Christ. She thought she prayed in the spirit, would pray in the corner. She thought she could speak to cats. She thought my dad was the devil. And she thought all Catholics were going to hell. My house was a mess, such a mess. My senior year playing basketball, after 4 years of this, I couldn't get out of the locker room. I was weeping uncontrollably because I couldn't handle anymore. So when I go into high school campus and there's hurting kids, and And I see the hurt. I have compassion that they need a couple of lifesavers. They need more than one. They need a loadful. Those people are also, because I was one of them, they have false humility. They have false humility because they want to feel pumped up and say, well, you know what? That was God did that. False humility. God sees right through it. He sees your heart. You can't fool God. You cannot fool him. That's why David became the king. He said, hey, this guy. No. I want David who's got a heart after me. And you don't want to go check your heart real quick? Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. What's coming out is what's in here. What goes in does not defile the person. What comes out does. So we're playing a game at our table at our house, right? And I say something stupid to my wife. And I hurt her. I break her. And she gets upset. I go, oh, sweetie. And she just looked at me. You know, she don't match wits with my wife when it comes to the Bible. She goes, hubby. And she didn't say hubby. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Convicted. Nailed to the wall. So I have a choice. I could be like that stone, or I could be like this. Play-Doh. Want to make something cool out of this? Oh, you do. Yeah. Make something cool out of it. Or I could have a humble heart, right? Pliable. God working on me. Yeah. So let's continue. It goes to the hearts. Oh, by the way, really quick. You know, it really looks bad around us. Say this with me. Where sin abounds. Get excited now. Where sin abounds. Grace abounds more. Hallelujah. So the times that we live in, Pastor, are awesome. There's so much stinking sin out there, but there's so much grace. It's harvest time. I'm telling you, it's harvest time. You know, they're coming to droves in China. They're coming to Christ in droves in India, in China, and around the world. People are coming to Christ in droves. Amen. Hallelujah. They could come to droves. You can come to Christ in droves in America too. Oh, people don't want to hear it. Yeah, they do. They're hurting. And I'm going to tell you right now. Here, on the way out, two young people from Valley Forge are going to hand you this little card that we use in our ministry to help you lead someone to Christ. Put it in your wallet. Put it in your pocket. It's very simple. You can lead someone to Jesus Christ if you have a humble heart. But if you have a broken heart, you won't be able to because you're broken. If you got a hard heart, you don't give a rip. But these cards, they'll give them to you. Then we got this heart right here. What's this one? Hey, Mr. Barron, you work with plumbing. I'll give you that one right there. There you go. Hold it up really high. You know what that is? It's a hose, a garden hose. You know what that garden hose is? A garden hose is that first drink out of it in the summer. Who said yuck? Yeah, that warm drink. Now, you ladies might never have had that, okay? You're smart enough not to drink out of a hose. But us guys who stand outside and we go, oh, I'm thirsty, I'll drink out of it. And you go, oh, yuck. You spit it out. What it is, it's the lukewarm heart. It's the one that really doesn't care. The one that Pastor started to talk about last week. You're neither hot or you're cold. He mentioned it last week. I don't know if you're listening. You prepped me for this talk, by the way, when you did that. Thank you. Hallelujah. God's always planting seeds ahead of time. Say this with me. Breathe on me. One more time. Breathe on me. So you know what that heart is? That's the religious heart. I have to come to church. It's the thing to do. We'll just check it off. But I'm not going to really do anything else. Now look at me. There's a lot of great people in a lot of good churches, and there's good people in this church that are serving the Lord with everything. We're getting to you. Hang in there. Keep doing it right. But some of you today, there you are. You're lukewarm. Can I tell you something? If you don't stand for something, then you're going to fall for everything. You got to go one way or the other. You got to make a decision. I'm at a wedding, right? Christian wedding. Oh. The tale of two weddings. And so I'm in the Christian wedding, and I'm seeing Christians who go to Bible study popping beers. And I'm like, what? Oh, hey, you know, don't judge them. I won't judge him. I mean, stir straws with mixed drinks. So I walk out, and I'm out in the hallway. Here comes this lovely girl from Lewis and Porter, who we ministered to for 2 years down at Louport, who she received Jesus Christ on the campus because we were there working with their softball team, and I see her. And I go, what are you doing? She goes, I'm in the wedding. And I'm going like, what's the difference to the two weddings? Is there a difference? Can we tell the difference? And I looked at her, and her boyfriend was there, and I looked at him right in his face. I can't believe God must have came all over me because this is me. I looked at him, I said, do you not understand you got a precious young lady in your hand? Fearfully and wonderfully made by God. I go, you mess up with her, I'll come after you along with her dad. And she just looked at me and she just smiled. She goes, this is the guy I was telling you about who talks about that character stuff? I go, don't mess with her. Don't mess with her. But I'm going, what's the difference between the two weddings? Let's just straddle the line here, right? It's no big deal. I mean, wedding and funeral. Two great places to exalt God. Two great places. Bachelor parties. I'm a Christian. Do I have beer or don't I have beer? Oh, geez, you know, I don't want to offend my buddies. Can I just nail that for a second really quick? Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. Wait, he's loving. No. You read that a little bit farther. I don't have time to read it. You read it a little bit farther, you know what it says? Hey, father will be against son, daughter against mother. I come to bring a sword. You want to be a Christian? You got to stand. You got to stand. And you need to do it with love. You got to stand with love and say, you know what? I just want to just draw closer to Christ. And let me get to the simple. So you know what I like about this? I love the Nazarene vow. You know what they said? I'm selling all out for Jesus. I ain't drinking anything. I love the Nazarene vow. Why? They say, you know what? I'm putting all this down. I'm giving it all up. You can't serve two masters. You got to love one or hate the other. Which one are you doing today? Where's your heart at today? Say this, breathe on me.
Breathe on me.
Breathe on me. Choose me this day who you will serve. Hey, I'm telling you right now. Hey, I don't know about you. I got a chance to serve the guy who walks on water. The guy who raises the dead, calms the seas, can heal my broken heart, can give me a new heart. Jesus Christ. I love Tasha Cobbs. You haven't heard that song, Tasha Cobbs? Oh, it's awesome. She sings a song, there's power in the name of Jesus that breaks every chain, breaks every chain, breaks every chain, breaks every chain. I just broke my microphone. Hallelujah. Oh, and then we got this one here, right? So we got that one there. We got the lukewarm guy. You got to make a stand. As for me and my house, who are you going to serve? You got to make a stand somewhere. Look at me. He said, you know what he said after? You know what he said to Joshua? Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not be afraid or dismayed. I'm with you. He is with you. Say this with me. Christ. The hope of glory. In me. It's in you. Look at your neighbor and say, he's in you. Then there's this one. Who wants this one? Oh, I love this. Little guy jumped right up. There you go. Put that right on. Everybody would say, hey, he's a lifesaver, right? That's what he does. He saves lives. I'm not going to have it. Sweetie, can you go out between the service? I'll need more lifesavers next service. That's the hole in the heart. My Bible says this, that the desire of everyone is unfailing, unconditional love. So what does that one look like? Here's where it gets really touchy. You've already stepped on my toes already. Well, that's okay. I haven't. It's the Word of God to step on your toes. You know what the Word of God is supposed to do? It's supposed to convince you to follow Him. It's supposed to rebuke you and get in your face. And then it's supposed to encourage you that, you know, we do have a way out. That there is hope. That the God of hope, will pour out into you abundantly in your heart peace and joy by the power of the Holy Ghost. There's hope. There's hope for our country. There is hope for our country. There's hope for our country because you know what? God loves people, but He's just waiting for us to go, hey, Lord, have mercy on us. We're sinners. Oh, by the way, Lord, we let them kick prayer out. We let them have abortion. We're taking the Ten Commandments off the walls. And now we got gay marriage. And when we did get rattled by 9/11 and Wall Street fell out, are you trying to say something? Anything? If my people will humble themselves. See, the hole in the heart, you know what that one is there? That's idolatry, because as you look at this talk, it's a great, great thing when it talks about tumas. What is tumas? It said, God was said, did you see that these prophets, he lifted Ezekiel and took him to Jerusalem, and he allowed Ezekiel to see what was going on inside the temple, that these guys were worshiping idols inside the temple. The priest, look at me now, get this. You are the royal priesthood. Uh-oh. Well, the temples we're talking about is in here, because you're the temple of the living God. And they're worshiping idols on the inside and playing church guy on the outside. And God said, that's not real detestable. I'm going to show you more. And he showed more and more until he took him to Tumas. And the women were at the gate bowing down to Tumas, which was a god of fertility. Idol worship. But here's the difference. Here's the key. If you go into scriptures and read it, Pastor, this is why it's so important. It said they mourned while they bowed down. Mourned. I'm going to wrap this up in a second. They mourned. You know what that means? Let me tell you what it is. I found out what worship really is. We could sit there and we worship football, or we worship music, or we could worship rock stars, or we could worship this. Here's what worship is. Worship is this. You have to reverse your engines. What are the things that you get most excited about, and what are the things that you will most cry about? Oh, I'm not telling you what your idols are. If I'm excited more for being a runner and running a road race, which I do, than I am about my salvation in Jesus Christ, I got an idol. If my job ticks me off so much that I'm aggravated and complaining, and you're hanging on to your job too stinking tight, because that thing's an idol. If you have more, this is called emotional idolism. If your emotions are higher for something else than God, if you can go to a concert, and I'm not against concert, I will say read Colossians 2:10 on that one, okay? Okay? Do not be, God, Paul says, beware lest you be taken captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to traditions of men and according to the principles of this world and not according to Christ. By the way, those country singers, they have a philosophy. And you sit there and you listen to it, that's permeating your heart. And if you're cheering that country singer on more than you're singing in this church, you're flatlined with God. And when you're flatlined with God, we're going back to right back there with Mr. Barron. You see, we'll never become as strong as our smallest controlling desire. You'll not be stronger than your smallest controlling desire. So let's get to this one, huh? You got that? What'd you make for me? You made a what? She made a snowman with a swirly top. That's not Christian. Oh, come on. What's God want to make you? He has you in a place where he wants to reach people for Christ and touch lives, and he's trying to formulate you and give you a new lifestyle. What's he trying to do with you? Oh, he's awesome. You know what he says? He is faithful to complete the work he started. He's faithful to complete this work he started in you. He is an awesome God. And here, I love this about David. He goes, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. You want to know something? Until 4 years ago, I was a works man. Then I went to the river, and I got in the river, and then I got some joy. The joy to be able to bring a message that's really hard, but knowing that God is working on your hearts and he loves you so stinking much. And sister, he still has a plan and a purpose for you. Hallelujah. That's joy. That he's large and in charge. And I'm going to read this from Isaiah, and as we wrap this up, it says this. It says in Isaiah, "For thus says the high and holy loft of one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and with him who is of humble spirit." That's who he dwells with. So where's your heart today? Which one of these is you? Well, here's the problem, Pastor. And I know we're over, so please forgive me. But I believe there's hearts in here that may want to let go of this. Thank you, brother. If I just come and preach to you right now, that's all that counts, because God cares about your soul. He's numbered the hairs on the top of your head. And looking at you, you're like me. We don't have many, but it's, so it's easy for him. Hallelujah. So Moses gets a face-to-face with God, right? He says, "Take off your shoes, you're on holy ground." So he tells Moses what he's going to do, what he wants him to do. Moses goes, he makes every excuse in the world why I can't. Just like you, well, I can't come on Wednesday night. I don't pray. That's hard for me to read the Bible. And we got all these excuses. And God goes, "Hey, I'm tired of your excuses. Do me a favor, Moses. Take your staff and throw it on the ground." Wait a second. You mean he's got his shoes off, Pastor Brandon, and he's before the Almighty God, but he's hanging on to that staff. Oh, it was a picture of Moses' heart. He's hard-hearted. I don't have to listen to you, Pastor Mike. Oh, I am a pastor, by the way, ordained by two different congregations. I'm not a coach. So what's it have to do with the staff? It's simple. You know what this did? This represented Moses' identity. It represented his lifestyle. It was his protection. It was his way of making a living. He was a shepherd. And what does God say to him? "Moses, throw it down." And isn't it amazing when he threw it down? Boom! The power of God moved right through that stick. God wants the power to move through you today. He wants to touch you today. He wants to heal your broken heart today. He wants to fill the hole in your heart today. But you know what? You got to throw down the stick. And when he did, he launched Moses. Bow your heads, please. As you have them bow, just say two words. Breathe on me. Bible says that Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He's the only way to heaven. I don't know where you're at today, but maybe you need to recommit your life. Maybe you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He is the only way to heaven, and we glorify him in this church. We lift him up. Maybe you need to run to the cross today, because at the cross, he paid everything for us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ. If you're one of those people today who wants to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, or recommit your life to Christ today, you want to throw the stick down, I want you to raise your hand up for me. I want you to raise your hand up for me. Who needs to throw the stick down today?